Create the deck of your dreams now at Menards. Spend less time maintaining your deck and more time enjoying it with UltraDeck low-maintenance composite decking from Menards. It's easy to install and built to last. Plus, get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store and on Menards.com. Save big on UltraDeck and check out more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Well, action-packed show planned for you guys today, right, Motor Raider?
Yes, sir.
Cover a lot of ground in this show.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, that's what we do. All right, first, Dodge, man. Take advantage of the power dollars. Dodge power dollars, that is. Drive home any 2020 Challenger, Charger, Durango. Save $10 per horsepower. So here's how it works. You got the Charger SRT Scat Pack, 485 horsepower. That's $4,850 off. See how that works? The lineup includes the most powerful SUV ever made, 807 horsepower. Dodge Challenger SRT Superstock. It's more than just power. They're the first domestic brand to ever rank number one in initial quality and appeal in the same year, as per J.D. Power, who is the industry standard. So what are you waiting for? Get your local Dodge dealer now. Take advantage of the Dodge Power Dollars while it lasts. And never been a better time to join the Brotherhood of Muscle.
With the holidays coming up, we'd like to offer you a little something special. And all we're asking in return is a few moments of your time to help support a great sponsor of this podcast. We ask that you complete a short survey, because your opinion matters to us and our sponsors. It'll only take a couple minutes. And if you're one of the first people to do it, we'll give you a reward in return. Just go to podcastopinions.com, and everything will be right there for you. That's podcastopinions.com. The first 150 people who complete the survey will get a $10 gift card to Amazon.com. All of our shows are supported by advertisers, so filling this out will really help us. Please go to podcastopinions.com, and as always, thank you for supporting the show.
Hello, Chico Pitbull, Mr. 305, better said, Mr. Worldwide, Armandito Cristian Perez. I had to use the real name. Why? Because now it's the podcast. From negative to positive, which you can catch on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Flow to the rider.
I don't even know if you know how much they play you around the world or anywhere, my brother.
No matter how much bread we make, dog, we can't take it with us. No matter how many houses, cars, whatever we acquire, can't take it with us. With that said, anything we make is always a give back, dog.
Why are we starting a podcast? Well, it's real simple. With the times that we're living in right now in the world, I think you need to be motivated, inspired, educated, aware, positive. So what I'm here is just to motivate the world and let them know when we talk, we call a spade, so you're going to hear the truth. So I look forward to the podcast. I look forward to showing y'all, teaching y'all how to take it from a negative to a positive. So get ready. From negative to positive, which you can catch on Apple Podcast, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice but to get on. Mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. It's CarCast. Matt Aperol. It's Matt the Motorator DeAndrea over there.
Hello.
Let me give 15 seconds to our friends over at Dodge. It's time for the Dodge Power Dollars once again. That means for each horsepower, you get $10 off your purchase. So you do the math. I'm one of those bad boys. You can do a Challenger, Charger, Durango. Come on into Dodge Power Dollars today. For Dodge dealers for their power dollars. Amazing deals. All right. Okay. All right. What do you got?
Well, some bad news about our good friend John Campion. John Campion passed away. He's been fighting
leukemia,
I believe, for some time.
Yeah.
And he had I think you interviewed him on Take a Knee at one point. He's a great
guy. We're
going
to replay that on Monday.
Yeah, he'll be the next take. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Great guy.
He was also on this show last year.
That's right. We had him here as well. Very enthusiastic, very chatty.
Yeah.
Very Irish. Yeah. He was also in Jay Leno's garage. You've seen him there with his Lancias.
Yeah, yeah. He, a great motor in him, pardon the pun, because he loved the cars, but he just had that zest for life. Big laugh, good guy, always ready to, you know, have a conversation and talk about anything. And he's going to be missed because he was a good guy, a good car guy. And the thing that was an interesting car guy, you know, some of these guys, you know, where they just go, this guy's got 15, he's got 15 Camaros all in consecutive years starting in 1986.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay. But Campion had the Lancias, which were amazing and stuff we didn't even really know about.
Yeah.
And then ones with Le Mans history and all in the Martini livery. I mean, total wheelhouse for guys like us who like more interesting things.
Yeah, he also had an F1 car or a couple of F1 cars. And he sent me a video of him driving, which I think was a John Player special. Mm. Car.
Well, if you think it was.
I just not a lot of black and gold, and I just remember black and gold.
Right.
And he sent me a video that he's like, this isn't out yet. I just want you to show it. He goes, it's so much fun. He's like, I'm having the best time of my life. Like,
yeah.
he was just so into it. You can see pictures of his collection. He has a great shop, by the way. But also, like you talked about, a guy with a motor is a guy that just started off as like a roadie, just a low-level guy doing concerts, working at concerts, setting up stages and just being like, I don't know, kind of like a PA, if mm-hmm. you will, mm. and noticed while doing that, and I'm sure you'll have the longer story on Take a Knee, noticed that the companies that showed up to supply power generators and all that stuff, he saw some flaws in that
yeah.
and built himself up that type of company and did it from scratch. He just saw a need.
Mm-hmm. It's like any hardworking entrepreneur. So anyway, a great guy, and he will be missed.
Yes.
All right. So on to the Stratus auction. Which I was looking at. Now, as we tape this, there's a couple days left on a couple cars we like.
Yeah, I think the Nissan would end today. I think the Nissan ends today.
The
Cunningham car.
The Cunningham car. It's up to $300,000. So somebody's been bidding on it.
Yeah.
A little movement on it. You know, we think the price on a car like that is more in the 6 to 725 range, mm-hmm. so still quite shy of that. It was a 14-day auction. It sat at $100,000 for about 10 days or something.
Yeah,
and you know, I think what you want in an auction is you want movement. You know what I mean? Like you want action.
Yeah,
and so it was at $100,000 for a week plus, and then I looked the other day and it was $300,000. So there's some movement, you know, there is some action going on.
There is. This is a tough one because when you do a long auction like this, with a new company like Stratus, the 14-day auction has some, it makes a little bit of sense because it allows them to start the auction and start generating some buzz about the car, or at least they hope to. They're saying, mm-hmm. hey, it's there. You can see it. You can read about it. The auction's open. At least get your name in. Maybe throw in a bid. Do something. You've got plenty of time. Mm-hmm. Now, as the site becomes more popular and this auction company really starts to take off more, I could see that being more like a week auction because they have to do more of them and there's more people that know about the cars. Bring that down a little bit. But it was a little kind of frustrating, you know, because we're such fans of that car to watch that thing sit at, you know, $100,000 for whatever, the first 10 days of its 14 days or 11 days of its 14 days, you know, going, how come nobody's getting in on this car? What's happening? What's happening? Where is everybody?
Right. So we'll know in the next few days. There's a Jag 220, I think, that's at 220.
Somebody's being funny.
Yeah, there's the GTP Nissan that's at $100,000, like $83, which is another one of those someone's being funny things. Yeah. I think that's the number on the car or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's some of that going on, but we'll find out what's going on soon. And by the time you hear this, we'll have some answers. What else? So we're swapping the transmission from the 610 to the 510.
Mm-hmm.
That's going on as
Getting
ready for a December race.
That'd be good. Weather would be nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be. Right. Let's see. We got the Escort rolled in.
Which I haven't gone to see yet. I just rolled up here and started doing the podcast. But did you... were you here when they unloaded it?
Yeah. Well, no. It's one of these things where it's like...
Not sure if you fired it up or not.
You know, my life is very strange. On the day the thing was supposed to
roll
in... Oh,
yes,
right.
You were flying and traveling, doing all kinds of crazy
stuff. I had to come in here and do an ACS podcast, and then I had to hustle to LAX, and then I had to land in Oakland, and then I had to drive to Stockton, and then I had to do a gig in Stockton, and then I got back in the car, went back to Oakland, and then went back to LAX. So it's like... It's such a bizarre life. I guess it's kind of your first world problem where the car was supposed to be unloaded while I was doing the podcast in the morning.
Yeah.
Then after the podcast, you know, Mike August shows up with his backpack.
Yeah, and he's like, we're ready to
hit the road. And then I run over to the shop and for 18 seconds. I look at the car and then I run back here. we drive. But by the way, I don't know how many people on that Southwest flight just bought a Paul Newman race car, but it's got to be less than 10%.
Yeah.
Like, one minute I'm standing next to the Paul Newman car. Next thing I'm just sitting in between two people on a Southwest flight to Oakland.
Yeah. I thought they weren't selling middle seats. Oh, you're sitting next to Mike.
No. Yeah. What? I sat next to Mike on. Yeah. We kept a seat in between. Not flight home. He didn't make it. So
he didn't make it.
We just didn't have enough time to drop the rental car off and drop me off.
Oh.
So
he takes the hit. He's got to walk home.
God knows what Mike does. He had a bunch of food that we took from the gig.
Oh,
so.
I'm sure he's probably still there eating all that food, driving back in a rental car. Probably just drove it all the way back.
So let's see.
So we haven't seen it. So now I'm excited. We got to go over there and check it out, like more than just for 18 seconds, I guess.
Yeah.
Although you got another podcast after this, so you better hurry up.
My only takeaway is it's on wets. The tires are like knobbies on it.
Yeah.
And it's funny. Those cars look so cool on those big wide slicks.
Yeah.
They don't look that good on the wets. It's like too much tread.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But Ross, who owned it, did drive it. He did like to race it. And he lives in Florida.
Right. So a lot of rain.
So a lot of rain.
So, yeah, we'll figure out slicks. I talked to Troy Ermish about cantilevered slicks, which he says they make. I didn't know they still made them. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, they'd use the cantilevered slicks that would hang over 2 inches, you know. I talked to Troy a little bit about Tom Cruise's 200SX tube-frame car. So we had a little discussion about that and maybe purchasing that car and putting it back together.
What's sort of the status as far as you're able to gather on what's original, what's been changed over the years? Obviously, it's a racing car, so engines don't really necessarily exist all the time as far as like all the original pieces. And we've seen that on all of the race cars over at the shop. You know, some things get changed, control arms, things like that. So what is there? And what authenticates it as Tom Cruise car? Is there chassis numbers or brass tags or some kind of...
It's a tube-frame car. It's the chassis. I don't know how it got verified, but whoever's had it just had it for a million
could
years.
Could have a stamping on it or something.
Yeah, or for you know, it has a story, too. Like, the dude who bought it knows where he bought it from. He'll tell you who the thing is. You know, Troy talked to the guy who made the chassis. You know, it's like some of it is official documented stamps and codes and things. And then others are just sort of dudes
it's paper
going,
trail, here's, you know?
Yeah, and it's not that long. So, you know, some dude's probably had it for 30 years, you know, sitting in his garage. So it's It's the chassis. The body is missing. It has a 240 SX body on it. I'm trying to think.
Yeah.
A different body on it. The engine is different and not correct. It's supposed to have an L motor in it. It's got something else, maybe a little more modern. And there's some interesting bits and pieces to it. It was a Bob Sharp car, but it wasn't built by Bob Sharp. It was built by another guy and sort of delivered to Sharp. And the story, as I hear it from Troy, is it was built, given to Sharp. I guess Sharp put it in his livery, put the Planner's peanuts on it, and got the sponsors' names going on it. Scott Sharp evidently shook it out.
Okay. Yeah.
And kind of broke it in, dialed it in, and then they gave it over to Cruz.
Yeah, that sounds all pretty consistent with the stories we heard about Cruz getting in with Newman, and it, for them to say, "Hey, Scott, you know, show Tom the ropes, and let's just buy a car and convert it into the livery, and you know, dial it in the way we want." That all kind of makes sense. So that seems pretty consistent with the story that we've come to hear, you know, through the movie and the books and everybody we've talked to, and making the doc.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it should be interesting.
Yeah, so we'll see how that odyssey goes. Probably just, you know, get it to Troy if he doesn't already have it, and then, you know, just tell him you do it and do the restoration on it. Body panels and stuff you have to find. I mean, you can't find them. You got to make them.
You got to make them.
Right. But such is life. I mean, I was asking him, but did they make any deck lids or hoods or anything for this car? You know, because they make them for 510. You know, you could get a fiberglass deck, you know, trunk lid or hood or flares, or you can get stuff for it, you know. And he's like, they didn't race these cars enough.
Nah.
So they didn't really, there's no market for that.
Yeah, that's kind of tough. I think we did some stuff like that when you did, when you took the Newman Camaro and put it back to the Oldsmobile.
Mm-hmm.
There were some body pieces I think we were able to make or from the other Oldsmobile or measure or get mold for. But some of that, you know, like the roof on that thing and the whatever, the B pillars and all that, or the C pillars rather in the back, had to be taken off of that. Those were metal pieces off of a real car, and that had to be modified.
Sorry, did you say roof? We had to get the roof.
Yeah, the roof. Right? Yeah, the roof and the pillars.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that had to be grafted off of an Oldsmobile Cutlass from a junkyard and welded on and fitted and kind of rounded. You know,
it's kind of funny when you buy a whole car to just use the sheet metal roof.
Yeah, and I think we used some of the plastic on the taillights.
We used
taillights, yeah. But then scrap the rest. And you buy the thing for $500.
Right.
And you got the you cut the roof off and have it somebody welded on there for $8,000. And then you scrap the rest.
Yeah.
For $200.
So I'm looking down a punch list here.
Yeah.
Ford is opening up orders on the Mach 1.
Yeah. So on Wednesday, the 14th, October 14th, they did kind of a fun thing. 73 years after Chuck Yeager broke the Mach 1 record in a plane, they've timed it that Ford One now makes it available. Wednesday is the day you can order the new Mach 1, the 2021 Ford Mustang Mach 1. But I was talking to Goldberg earlier in the week, is one of the things that I like about what we're doing with cars now, especially in the performance cars, is instead of just launching a car, having its five-year run, and then it gets like a facelift or a few updates, is we're making progress each iteration of the car. Each year it's coming out, right? Like this car basically replaces the Mustang Bullitt, which was fantastic for $51,000. This one also $51,000 and change. But they've already learned things from the GT350 and the GT500. They're saying, oh, well, we've improved the steering, and we've made adjustments to the MagnaRide suspension, and we've got some aero. So now the downforce on this car is better than the GT350, and we've modified a gurney flap, and we've taken the GT350 oil coolers and put them on this engine. And, you know, the Bullet had rev matching, but not on the Tremec transmission. It had a different transmission that wasn't as durable. Oh. And people wanted the durable one. So they're saying, hey, we've got the Tremec six-speed manual from the GT350, but with rev matching. Lots of cool stuff. Yeah, lots of cool stuff.
Still upset because three years ago, they're talking about the 50th anniversary of the movie Bullet or something, and they wanted to come out with the Bullet, you know, and pay tribute to McQueen and blah, blah, blah. And Ford was talking to me, and they're talking August, and we went down and visited them.
I remember
in Dearborn. And we sat in their like creative space and pitched their creative team. And I just came up with this killer idea.
I loved it too.
And if you guys are listening, you heard it before, but it was just the 50th anniversary of, you know, the movie Bullet, driving the Ford Mustang, and the lead in, you know, 2 minute bit would be people didn't know it, but my dad was a pretty popular actor in the late 60s. Early 70s.
This is you on camera talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Bullet, McQueen, a lot of people don't know because a lot of it was cut out. It was all cut out, but he had a passenger during that chase scene.
Yeah. They edited around him.
It was his partner Buddy. It was my dad. He got edited out of the movie, but we have footage.
Yeah.
We have some of the footage from the original shot in it. And of course, it'd just be me with a huge afro and a big peace sign and a turtleneck sweater and shiny leather blazer, just going out of my mind, hanging onto the dashboard, screaming, "Let me out!" And of course, you just cut to the outside of the car, and it's pitched sideways, going through the streets of San Francisco, and then you cut in, and I'm hanging onto the dash, screaming. But then, of course, you cut back on one of them, and I have like a milkshake and a straw and I'm just casually drinking out of it. You know, you have all that kind of fun. You come back, I'm upside down in the seat, you know. you just do that.
Yeah.
And I know from doing so many man show bits, like I can see it already. Like,
right.
I'm like, oh, that's gold, man. Yeah. That is going to be funny. And I never did it.
I didn't do it.
No. But I pitched him, me and Mike pitched him in the room, and they're like, oh, no, so funny, like so good. And I don't think they ever did anything, but the point is
I blame Mike.
I blame Mike, too. All right, and
it's a good idea. It's a funny idea. Now I kind of feel like we need to do that at some point. We need to figure out a way to do that.
I agree, it's funny. Travis Pastrana is doing some Gymkhana.
So Travis Pastrana is teaming up with Ken Block and the Hoonigan guys to do a Gymkhana video. But instead of just taking one of the rally cars, the drift cars or whatever, they were able to get with Subaru. And Chris can find a photo. It's a Travis Pastrana Gymkhana Subaru. They were able to do a purpose-built car. So they can make it as batshit crazy as they wanted to. And it's
what's purpose-built? I mean, it's not a rally car that they blah, blah, blah.
Right. They made a specific Gymkhana car.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to, with no limitations.
Right.
Like, we can do crazy aero. We can do crazy horsepower. We can do whatever. And although this thing is actually wind tunnel tested, it's got, like, you look at that front fender. Look at this Batwing thing that's going on. I get that it's got a little bit of Dark Knight Batmobile in it, but they also try to make it as functional as possible. And apparently the car works fantastic, and there's a video that's out now about Pastrana like getting in it and learning it. And this is I think you've talked to him several times, interviewed him many times. Again, you just get like this kid in him, how enthusiastic he is and how excited he is to be able to do this. And
he really has a lot of like man-child in him. Like, he's boyish.
Yeah.
He looks boyish. He acts. He's not immature. He's pumped about doing stuff.
Yeah. His enthusiasm for this is fantastic. So this is going to be a fun piece.
Yeah. You couldn't fake what he does.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not into it. There's no way. There's no way it's like a money grab or, you know, like comedians, me, Leno, whoever, you do corporate gigs. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, come on out, talk to these insurance guys, make some money. You know what I mean? Yeah, fine. I'll do it. But that's not his life.
No.
His life. He's into it.
It's funny because he did that Evel Knievel live event, and Goldberg was one of the hosts of it. And his initial reaction, as soon as I brought this up, he was like, Pastrana's the nicest guy. He's like, he's so enthusiastic. He's so nice to talk to. He just loves what he does more than anybody. Nothing but good things to say about him.
Yeah. And, you know,
this car is nuts.
Goldberg's a real nice guy, too. See, it's all right to be easy and nice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to be a temperamental kind of struggling art, or not struggling, but artist, you know, attitude or whatever, prima donna, whatever. It's,
yeah.
Leno, Goldberg, Pastrana, nice.
Seems easier to be nice. Anyway, I can't wait to see the video, the Gymkhana video for it, because the car is nuts. They didn't disclose the horsepower of it yet. But I guess they're still using a boxer engine. I don't know what they think they can get out of it. But I don't know how much you need. Like when you start looking at some of Ken Block's stuff, like his Hunicorn Mustang and I think the truck and whatever that he did, you're all-wheel drive and, I don't know, 900 horsepower and it's doing four-wheel burnouts. And I don't know, maybe this comes in at 600-ish?
Yeah. That, I mean, also, it's such a unique piece, and there's, you know, twin turbos on it, I'm guessing, that a lot of it is about the fuel, you know, especially with the turbo.
Mm-hmm.
So you turn up the boost, you run the aviation fuel or the 118 or whatever it is, and you can really, you know, you can take that thing from, you know, 400 horsepower to 675 with really putting in the good juice and really turning up the wick and having the computer manage that system. So, I would guess 600 plus on something like that. I wouldn't think you would need much more than that.
I think when we talked to Tanner Faust a while back when he was doing like X Games Rallycross, in, I don't even think it was the Focus, it was like the Fiesta or something like that, the Ford, mm-hmm. and tiny engine, and we asked him how much boost. I want to say he said 60 pounds of boost.
Yeah, he may have said that. Yeah, it's something.
60 pounds of boost.
It's something insane. Well, again, once you run any kind of fuel you want, and once you dedicate that much to cooling, looking at it. It's insane. It's got to be, it's got to be well over 600 horsepower, I would guess.
Yeah, it's funny when you think about 60 pounds of boost. You're like, okay, so without the turbos, the engine makes 12 horsepower, and then the rest is just boost. It's 600 horsepower of boost.
Yeah, those things, the compression on those things. I have no goddamn idea. I'm 6 to 1. Like I don't know what I don't know how it works.
Well, with good fuel, you can run more compression because all we're trying to do is get rid of detonation.
Yeah, it can't be 6 to 1. But what I'm saying is back in the day, you had to just lower that compression and you could up the boost. Now, modern day cars with the computers, they can still have the higher compression and still keep the boost.
Yeah, It's pretty amazing what we can do even on turnkey cars, Corvettes, Mustangs, and stuff.
Well, speaking
like that,
of Corvettes,
11 to 1 compression, run 8 pounds of boost.
There's a Corvette thing I want to get into. Why don't you hit your Geic on them? We'll talk about the new C8.
Yeah. So you know what's really scary right now is just seeing how much you could be saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It's almost as scary as that homemade elf costume your mom made you wear in junior high school. Well, Geico can't erase the memory of tripping down the hallway in those pointy shoes, but they can save you 15% or more on car insurance. So stop waking up at night in a cold sweat wondering what happened to that green onesie. Switch to Geico and save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
All right. So there is C8 production halted.
Yeah. I think people are making a big stink about it, but it's halted for like a week.
Oh, okay. I've seen a few of those around now.
Yeah.
They look good. I think from a profile, I saw one parked at a Panda Express, and I was looking at the profile of it. I think I was talking to you on the phone, and I was saying it looks like the new NSX,
a little bit
from profile.
NSX in it,
and I also look a little R8 Audi. Maybe a little profile too.
When R8, the new one has some harder edges into it. It's a little less soft. It's a little bit
the edgy. New. Sorry,
yeah,
the new
yeah. R8. It's got some harder edges.
I haven't seen the new.
You probably have because it's not quite as roundish and bubbly as because it's this design, this harder edge design has been out for a few years on the R8. You're right. It has a little bit of both of those, and I don't know if you were up close on it or across the street, but when you get up on it, you realize how large it is. The C8 is a pretty big car. You know, it's got the front and rear trunk spaces and, you know, the engine, you know, rear mid, but there's a good size, like, you know, golf club size trunk behind the engine. Mm. You know, it's got quite a bit of space. It's a big car.
Yeah. And, you know, for under $100,000, kind of a world beater, right?
Yeah. So the guys at Edmunds, we have Alistair come in. They bought one and they spec'd it out. They spent $80,000 and they didn't get the full crazy carbon fiber with the big wings and all that stuff, but they did get the Z51 handling package. So they say basically got a base model with the upgraded handling, and I think they spent about $80,000.
Yeah, it's a good time to have a decent job and be an enthusiast. You know?
Seems like a lot of car for $80,000.
Yeah, in a way, I'm trying to wonder if like these cars they work well, they all kind of kick butt, they're pretty world class performance wise, and you just get in and kind of drive it every day. My thing is always. A lot of guys do this with their wives. Eventually, that's just your wife. Like, yeah, you met her and she was a Hawaiian Tropic model and it was a big deal. And then at some point, that's just the person.
Yeah.
That's a person I live with.
Yeah.
And she needs to change the fucking litter in the kitty box because I'm pissed, you know? And cars do that too. Like, you just go, yeah. It's like, you know, when that day comes, you start eating fast food inside the car, you know, and not worrying about it where you park
stuff. Don't wear blue jeans on my white seats.
Right.
It'll start to smear.
But at a certain point,
it's now like, you're just wearing jeans, eating a Big Mac.
And then at some point, you're like, I'm making a Home Depot run.
Yeah.
And then you go, I'll just put a beach towel down on the floorboard on the passenger side. I can put a 90-pound sack of Ready Crete. In there, I think that's good. So you start doing that, and eventually the car gets a little.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is I'm not one of these guys who would ever want to go buy myself a supercar and then just drive it every day because it's not a supercar anymore. It's just your car.
Oh,
You're going to work. You're sitting in traffic. You have to kind of worry about it a little bit. But what I mean is. You know, people always say, oh, Adam, you got money. You're a car nut. What are you driving? I'm like, I just want to get from here to there.
Mm-hmm.
Do it kind of also like fly under the radar a little bit. Like, I don't want to get pulled over all the time and all that shit. And I don't really need to make a statement. I feel like I got my bona fides. So people know I like cars. But it's actually kind of interesting. Because, you know, the everyman comedian Jay Leno's sort of the same way because he drives a different car every day and they ain't all supercars.
Right.
A lot of them are just kind of weird, little funky, whatever car.
Most are not supercars.
Most all are not supercars. Like half the stuff Leno drives on a daily basis is not in the sub 8-0-60 times.
Yeah. No, it takes 4 people in 22 minutes to start.
And like a butane torch.
Yeah, it's like a crew.
Yeah. No, I know he drives
the guy
Stanley
in the bomb
Steamer
suit has to come over. Yeah. But you know, he's got his muscle cars and things like that. And actually, I think we talked to him at one point. We're like, oh, you know, we used to go to Hermosa and do a show, all this stuff. He's like, yeah, we take my wife's Lexus.
Right. Yeah.
The Lexus sedan.
Yeah. That's who that guy is. That's who Leno is. All right. So let's see. What else you got?
What's kind of interesting is a while back I drove the Polestar. If you remember, the Polestar is the spinoff brand, if you will, from Volvo, which is interesting because Polestar was the sporty side of things, right? It was like the AMG and the M.
I was looking down on the list at Polestar, and I keep thinking, I was thinking Polaris.
No, No, I was like, not the three-wheeled thingy.
Right.
But the Polestar has evolved into a like eco-conscious brand, electric and hybrid brand, and the entire interior is vegan. Like, you could spend $4,000 to get the leather if you want, but it has like this really cool kind of soft leatherish type of interior. You would never know the difference, but it's not. And I drove the Polestar 1. I believe I brought it here. You saw it.
It's good looking.
It really is good looking. I didn't realize just a sedan like that, or the I think it was two-door. The Polestar 1 is a good looking coupe. I got more questions about that car. What is that thing? What is that thing? What is that thing? Like, more than anything. It just, it worked well. It sounded, you know, it ran fantastic. But it's $150,000. So the Polestar 2 is the $60,000 more affordable, more accessible, competes with the...
Sorry, what was the base on the first one?
About $150,000.
Wow. Yeah. All right. So $150,000 versus $60,000.
Yeah. And they're going to make a handful of those. You could buy the Polestar 1 for $150,000, and it's a beautiful car. But the Polestar 2 is the more accessible version. It's a small-ish four-door sedan.
Is it?
It's a plug-in electric.
But not hybrid.
I don't think it is hybrid. I think this one's full.
What do we think the range is on that thing?
About 220. I think Edmunds tested it at 223 miles. Which is right on par with what they got with like the base Model 3 and the base Model Y. Right. That, you know, you'd have to compare them to the
Tesla.
To the Teslas.
Yeah.
And then of the three, because they did a fantastic video about it that really sort of compared them, the Model 3 was a little faster. It was, I don't know, 4 seconds. The Polestar was 4.30 to 60. And then the Model Y in its base form was like 5.3. So it was, it kind of fit in the middle. It was a little snug in the back seat, but it just seemed like it, Alistair from Edmunds made up a good point. He's like, especially in LA, being in a Tesla is like being in a Prius at this point. It seems like everybody has one. There's nothing really that special about it. But the Polestar, it works. It's good looking. The interior is nice. And they did this one thing that you and I have been talking about for a long time. The guys at Edmunds as well, is they didn't try to invent their own damn infotainment system. They literally just went to Google and said, do it, do the whole thing, and it works. It works well. And it even has like Google Assistant, like Amazon Alexa in it. You just talk to it and it works.
Yeah.
Even the Tesla one, I understand, is a little buggy, but you can go in there and say, you know, hey, Google, turn the air on, and the air comes on. Like, it just seems to work. Like, why not just outsource it and partner with the company with some credibility?
I completely agree. I what's so different about running Brembo brakes on your Ford Mustangs? Like, hey, Brembo knows how to do brakes. Let them do it.
Yeah, and there's cachet in the name, right? You want to get your Ford Focus ST with the Recaro seats and the Brembo brakes.
Then you get your Froyo with Reese's Pieces in it, not shit we made here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You do a little collaboration. The question with the Polestar, which is interesting because I talked to Gary about it a while with his 3. Gary has a 3, right?
Yeah.
Look, it's 150 degrees outside where we live. It's brutal. Mm-hmm. It's brutal. And there's nothing worse than like climbing into the broiling hot car when it's just been parked out there. And I'm like, you guys have all heard this rant before, but why isn't there a pump and an air conditioner? Why can't stuff run? And, you know, Gary can do it all from his phone. His car will do that.
Yeah.
It's not just a vent. It's an air conditioning that, you know, you could have on your car. So when you get into it, it's 80 instead of 109 degrees. And I'm curious if Polestar has that, because to me, if you're going to buy one of these cars and you're going to be in one of these Western states like we're in, you know, you're Arizona or California or whatever, you're going to want that. That's a big that's a big selling point for me.
So to take it a step further, this doesn't have to be a function of just the electric cars now, because what we talked about, like with guys with Lincoln and stuff, any car now has – so many cars have remote start. So mm-hmm. you can stand here in the studio. You can double-click the button and the Lincoln fires up. The navigator and the air comes on because you left the air on. Right. Now, you can't really adjust the air, but you hit the remote start. But because they all have the phone connect thing, now there's an app for all of that, and you can lock and unlock not just your electric car, but most of the new luxury cars. You can do what Gary's doing on a conventional gas engine car.
Yeah, I guess the problem is always the kind of car sitting running in the parking lot, like a navigator running in the parking lot. I don't know what the legality of that is. I don't know what the AQMD has to say about it. Like, I feel like that's a little tougher. And yeah, we all do that thing where it's like, oh, I'm walking up to the car. I'll turn it on and run it for 80 seconds before I get into it. But the seats are still fucking broiling. And I don't know about, you know, sitting in the Costco parking lot at Burbank and just running, you know. But I
think there is a time limit. And then it would shut down again.
I personally would like on a expensive luxury, you know, Lincoln Navigator, whatever, Rolls Royce, whatever. I want a little electric motor that runs that pump that has nothing to do with the turning of the crank.
Yeah.
That's what I want. And I don't know what turns that pump on a Tesla. I don't know how that physically works. It's a dedicated motor. Is it turning off of something? It's obviously not turning off the crankshaft or anything. Like,
yeah,
where's that pump?
Well, Gary can turn it on with his phone, then it's got to be just some electric motor spinning a compressor or something.
Yeah, I don't know. Max Pattis, see if you can find an image of the Tesla air conditioning electric pump. We'll see what happens. Let me tell you guys about Overcrest podcast, automotive journalist, Chris Clewell. Oh, we know Chris, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Perpetual optimist, Jake Solberg, discuss cars and culture and obscure motoring history and the changing automotive landscape twice a week. They'll interview industry experts and historical automotive figures and give their commentary on the latest news in the car world. Chris is the guy who took that incredible picture of my Porsche 935 underneath the movie marquee.
It looked.
So we'll look forward to that next year. Anyway, they're Porsche guys, but they're passionate about all cars and all things automotive culture. So be sure, check out these guys. Great guys. Hey, man, from one car guy to another, man, we got to support the community. So just search out Overcrest anywhere you listen to podcasts. All right. Chris, did we find anything on that?
I mean, I'll just put up the Google images and let me know if any of these fit you or what you're looking for.
It's got to be.
All right. Well, that looks like an electric motor, possibly with a compressor. So we're looking at what looks like a big plastic thing. It looks like an AC compressor wrapped in plastic with an electric motor where the pulley would be, and then there's a plug.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to guess what that was,
it looks like the size of an old school construction man's lunch pail.
Yeah,
you know, and. Basically, what I'm saying to all the other big guys out there is put one of those in the back of the car and run that air,
just
man.
Just run it.
Just run that shit.
It actually just looks like an AC compressor with an electric motor on it.
All right.
They're not reinventing anything, you know?
No. Let's wrap it a little bit early because we've got a crazy tight schedule today. So, until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Mac. I called you Matt. I was reading something. For Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea, saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit carcastshow.com.
You know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could be saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. Almost as scary as that homemade elf costume that your mom made you wear in junior high school. Well, Geico can't erase the memory of tripping down the hallway in those pointy shoes, but they can save you 15% or more on car insurance. So stop waking up at night in a cold sweat wondering what happened to that green onesie. Just switch to Geico and save. In 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.